Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Dan Bosco.
Excited. It is a joy to speak. We are wrapping up a series called Tune In. Tune In. We've been in this for several months. Steve will be wrapping it up over the next couple of weeks. I have a chance to just give my last kind of shot at this topic. And then I'm so excited. Friday, guess what? I jump on a plane and I head to Australia. First time ever. Had some dear friends down there that invited me down. So, and I'm so excited. The first 4 days are going to be at their beach house. Just me alone, just my books, my Bible, journal. And isn't that going to be amazing? Just to hang out, just have a time of decompress. It's been a busy winter. Decompress and get time with the Lord. Think about some fresh vision for what God's doing here and me and in the church. So I'm excited about that. Then I'll just tour Australia for a couple of weeks with them. And we'll go from Sydney to Perth to the coast and wine country. It's going to be an amazing time. So real excited about that. So this is kind of my last push on this topic of tuning in. And the passage that God just put on my heart for today is one that really speaks to me, that something that I wrestle with all the time. Because, you know, in Christianity, you don't just like arrive and, okay, everything's just perfect now. You know, I've made it. I got all the information I needed, and everything's just on cruise control. Everything always goes perfect. Christianity is a continual journey, and this is what I love about it, where God just works in our heart in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of everything going on. He may speak into this area. He may speak into that area. Then he speaks into this area. He's always at work. Isn't that good? I mean, he knows what we need. He knows exactly the areas of our soul that could be holding us back from greater things that he has for us. So he's always in the midst, always in our midst, working and doing really amazing things. And so this whole series on tuning in has been really important, because one of the things actually I've been praying for over the last year is, Lord, I want to learn to hear you better. And as I studied and prepared this passage, and it really spoke to me, is that hearing is just not about hearing. It's about hearing and then doing something with what you heard. And I think one of the biggest works of the enemy, we call him the devil, is that he wants us just to be comfortable hearing. He's very content with us just, oh yeah, just hear me, fill my head with more knowledge. That's wonderful. Just give me more knowledge. That you can have all the knowledge you want. Just don't act on it. And so this passage is about what happens. How does he fool us? How does he deceive us into just sitting on it, not really doing anything with it, just hearing it? But what happens when we actually do hear it, as the title says, accept it and then produce with it? So we're going to dive in. It's in Mark chapter 4. Some of you have seen this passage so many times. You've heard it preached and taught so many times. But I hope as we come to it, we can get a fresh glance, a fresh taste of what God wants to do, how he wants to bless us, and the ways that the enemy gets in there to steal and rob the blessings that God has for us. So Mark chapter 4. It'll be up on the screen. If you have a Bible, you're welcome to look there. I'm going to be starting in verse 3. And so Jesus is entering to this time of telling parables. You may know what a parable is. It's kind of a story, a made-up story to illustrate a spiritual truth. So he's going to give them actually a series of parables about the kingdom of God. And so he starts talking about this one particular one regarding a farmer. The disciples are hanging out, and some other people are hanging out, and they're all listening. And so Jesus starts it, and he says, hey, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. And other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Not just listen, not just hear it, but understand. And so the disciples are like, oh. I mean, that was really the deal, because we're not going to get into all this text here, but as you read into it, they're like, yeah, well, we love that, but we don't really know what it means. And he's like, you don't get that. Okay, well, let's try it again. So come down to verse, what is it? Ken, go ahead. 14. He says, okay, here, let me break it down for you a bit more. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So what's that about? This is a book of seeds. I don't know how else to say it to you. This is a book, I mean, it has hundreds upon thousands upon tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of seeds in it, filled, that the farmer, Jesus, and he gives us the opportunity to be the ones out there doing it, to take God's word to others. So all the seed from this, every Sunday we show up. And seriously, for me, standing up here and preaching, this is, it's like taking this and going, whoosh, there's a bunch of seed. Let's come back this way. Whoosh, a bunch of seed out this way. Just scattering seed. It's this amazing privilege. And you know what I love? And I gather, I'm not a farmer. Some of you may be farmers, but I guess we kind of plow and create these nice little areas, and then we come along and we put seed in it. Back in that time, they would actually scatter the seed, and then the plow would come after it and cultivate the ground and mix the seed into the ground. And this is the beautiful thing, folks, about being a Christian and scattering seed. I get to just scatter the seed, but you know what? A plow's coming after me. And that's the Holy Spirit. And that plow's coming, and I just scatter the seed, and that plow wants to do something. He wants to take that seed and cultivate it. But as we read in this passage, there's a lot of seed stealers. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But look at verse 15, and he starts to break it down for him. No, go back up, Ken. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. They're excited, like, this is good. I like this. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The third one, the seed that fell among the thorns, represents others who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much that had been planted. So he says, when we stand up and scatter seed, or even if you wake up in the morning and you open the Bible and you start to look and read and hear what God has to say, that it's seed God is looking to put in our souls. But one of four things out of this parable will happen. It falls on rocky soil, okay, hard soil, rocky soil. Or it'll fall on a soil that has thorns around it, or it falls on a good soil that produces this amazing blessing. And I want to be very careful about presenting to you a formula, because so often we try to make a formula out of the Christian faith. It's a relationship, isn't it? I mean, it is knowing the God of this universe. I love just being alone and quiet before God and saying, wow, God exists. God is real. God is over everything. He can do anything. I love just being before a God that is so loving and caring and amazing and powerful and can do anything, anytime, any way that he wants. And I love being in that place and what he will do. So we got to be careful of it becoming a formula. It's a very relational thing. But in this passage, if we go to this next slide, you're going to see there is a bit of a formula for this particular thing to learn. He says, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who, what? Hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much that as had been planted. A harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much that had been planted. I'm going to get back to the hearing and accepting and producing a little bit later in the message, but I just want you to see something. Because the first three categories we read, they heard the word. When we got to the fourth, it was different. Because they accept it, and then they produced. And what was the result? Fruit and blessings. Does anybody here need a blessing? I know I do. Every day. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Does anybody need any of those? Or is that just me? Okay, just checking to make sure we're all on the same level playing field here, right? We all need that. We need that fruit. We need the blessings of God's favor. Even Jesus, it said, he grew in stature and he grew in favor. If Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it? Right? I mean, we need fruit and blessings in our life. That is God's promise for us. That when we hear and we accept and we produce, that he has fruit and blessings in our life. Starting with having a relationship with Jesus. Starting with knowing the God of this universe, knowing we've been set in condemnation, we've been brought into the reality of God's love and God's forgiveness, and we're going to live eternally with him. That is the biggest bit of fruit and blessing right there. But even more so after that, in our daily life, living it out, all the fruit and blessings that God has for you. Let me say to you this way. If I said to you, come to my office tomorrow, plop down $1,000, and by next week, I'll give you $30,000 back. Would you take me up on that? I think you would. If I said to you, come to my office tomorrow, plop down $1,000, and in a month, I'll give you $60,000 back. Would you go for that? Probably so. I know I would. What if I said, come to my office tomorrow, plop down $1,000, and at the end of the year, I'll give you $100,000 back. Whoa. Rate of return, right? Return on investment. Are you kidding me? This is God's promise. Now, the timing and all that could vary and change, but do we realize that's the kind? I mean, when you see 30, 60, and 100-fold, we may think, oh, well, that sounds like nice biblical language. But do we realize that kind of return on investment? That's literally turning 1,000 into 30,000, 1,000 into 60,000, 1,000 into 100,000. And think of it, though, in the spiritual realm, that all that God wants to do in our hearts and souls. Are we struggling with some guilt? Are we struggling with some shame? Are we struggling with some addictions? Are we struggling with some depression? That God says, man, bring it to me. Let my seed come in, and I'm going to take care of that. Because that's what I do. I will bring you a 30, 60, 100 return on whatever you bring to me as you open your heart and you hear my word, as you accept my word, and you step out in faith and produce, which I'll talk a bit more about that again in the future. So, do you see what I'm saying? That God has some amazing blessings for us when we do more than just simply hear the word. Because the series is on tune in. And we want you to tune in. And we want you to hear the word. But to experience the blessings that come from hearing the word, it involves more than just hearing. It involves accepting and producing. So with that in mind, let me ask, are you with me on this? Is that making sense? We don't want to just sit on hearing. We want to do something with three seed stealers or three blessing blockers. For my sake and your sake, I want you to see how the enemy comes in and what he does to steal away the potential blessings we all have every day. So look at this first part of the passage. This is back to verse 15. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. How about that? That we can come in on a Sunday, we may even have a heart to hear, but that it's like the seed goes out, and man, it no sooner lands right here in our heart, and poof, the enemy steals that thing and pulls it away. You know, I love this guy, Bill Johnson, and he often says that, I've heard him say it a few times, we get to heaven someday, we're going to be amazed at what kind of scrawny little creature the devil really is. And we're going to say, you deceived me? You stole my seed? You scrawny little thing? But boy, it looks big in the midst of the challenge and the times and whatever's going on. But here's the deal. This is what Jesus called hard soil. And that it's soil that the heart is not really ready to hear. And as the seed goes out, and man, the Lord wants it to just go deep into the heart, but boy, it just, boom, it just hits something really hard and bounces right off. I think when I've seen myself in this place, and again, even if we're a Christian, we can fall back into these areas about different seeds that God's sowing. We may be doing great in this particular area, but in this area here, it's like hitting a wall. So this is for all of us all the time. This is not like, oh, we just get through this and we never have this temptation and this potential problem again. But it's this idea that we often get in our mind what we want to believe and how we want to do life. So when the seed comes, it just hits a wall. That's what it means to have hard soil. It means that we often walk into church or we'll walk into a Bible study, and we already know what we want to believe. We already know what we think about this or we think about that. And so any word that goes out that may potentially change things and stir things up, it hits the wall. And the enemy just goes poof and pulls it away. Some of you here today and you're hearing this and you hear us talk about walking with God, believing in Jesus. And you're like, Listen, Dan, thanks for all this Jesus stuff, but you know, just make sure the coffee's warm, make sure those burritos are cooked, half a burrito, $2, can't beat that, best deal in town. And I want to just come in here, I just want a little inspiration, just a little inspiration out to me. And our hearts are really hard. You know, we're not really here ready to receive. And gang, I've been in this place. And at times I can go back to it. And I come in, whether it's, again, it's a Sunday service or it's a Bible study. It's just like hitting a wall. Have you ever been there? You may open the Bible and you read it and just like, okay, that made absolutely no sense to me. That just bounced off everything. And that's the reality. And what's happening is the devil is coming in. We may be coming in with stuff going on, and our heart is hardened, but as soon as that word comes out, the devil just goes, poof, steals it away. Blessing gone. The 30, the 60, the 100-fold, gone. The Lord just threw us, just threw it out there, or threw a Bible study leader, threw it out there, hit hard soil, and boom, it's gone. So I just say, you know, as you think about that, where are you today with that? As you sit here today, I just know some of us may be here today and we're just like, oh man, my spouse dragged me to church again. I just wanted to go ski. And the hearts are just kind of resistant to the whole thing. God has something better. God has a blessing. God wants to take the seed today and turn it into a 30, 60, 100-fold blessing. And I just say, man, tell the Lord right now, Lord, my heart is hard. Soften this thing. Let this seed come into it. You may be here today and you hear, you know, me stand up as I often do. Hey, come and connect to Crossroads. Come through our next steps. Come through our, like, oh, gee, it's just don't have time. Just too much going on. And the seed is stolen. The blessing is gone. As I shared in the first service at church where I've worked in the past, I remember someone came to me one time after I got up and talked about our what was the next steps there and this membership deal. The person said, listen, you know, I've been through like six membership programs in the last 3 years at six different churches. I don't think I need another. I'm like, well, do you see a problem here? Do we see a little bit of a pattern and a trend here? Maybe you do need another one. And maybe you need to actually take this one in and do something with it. You know, that's why we encourage you. I think one of the biggest ways to overcome this issue of hard soil is to pray, as I just said, but also, gang, come and take the next step to belong, to get more involved, to connect on a deeper level with people. Because often, hard soil is because we're isolated, we're independent. And there's just not a lot of room for other people, not a lot of room for stuff. And what I'm saying is, by faith, step out, get more involved, come through next steps with me. Love to have you in there. But you know, even come to some of the other stuff going on in the church. Come to a Bible study. Come to Forge on Wednesday morning, men. 6:30 a.m. We got coffee. We got pastries. What more do you want? Right? Andrew's there. And if Andrew's there, why can't we be there? Right, Andrew? But boy, take that step. Take that step and move towards involvement, connecting with people, knowing and being known. I remember when I was this really hard-soiled person, this guy stood up at this and gave this message, and he said this thing, and he said those very words I just shared. He said, you know, gentlemen, you need to know and you need to be known. And I'm like, I'm not there. But I was willing to say, God, help me with that. Because I've lived a very isolated life here. There's been walls up. And boy, that message just went right to my heart. And I received it. And I did something with it. So if that's where you're at today, that's okay. We love you. We're glad you're here. But we're just saying God has something so much more for you. So many more blessings, such an amazing journey with him and with other people. And so we just encourage you, take that step. Come, and as we say, connect with us. Look at the next one. And look how the devil dives in on this one. The comfort soil, the shallow soil, it's kind of where the problems and pressure kind of mess things up. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. I mean, they're excited. Like, that's good. There's hope in that. I'm excited. There's something that, you know, there's a promise in that I can hold on to and see change in my life. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. It's like we come to church and, you know, things are not going well. And the pastor gets up and he gives a message on, boy, God loves you and God cares for you and God's got a plan for you. And we're like, yes, there's joy in that. I'm excited. And we walk out the door and bam, we hit a problem. We get home, we get bad news about something. Something takes a downturn financially, relationally. The problem is there and we're just like, God doesn't really care. God doesn't really have a plan. And who's at work when that happens? That's the devil. Throwing that lie in there. You see, you can't rely on God. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Can we say Genesis chapter 3? With the start of the whole problem. Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, surely God and Satan coming in and just twisting the truth on Adam and Eve to the point where they bought a lie. I mean, they had received it. They were living it. And then the enemy came in and they bought the lie and everything went downhill from there. And that's what happens. We come and we hear some great truth. We walk out the door and we hit the problem. And man, the enemy says, you really can't trust God. He's not really good on his word. Or you can't trust those people at Crossroads. And boom, the seed is snatched away. The blessing is gone. As it says in this, the plant withers and dies because there's not deep soil. And that's why we say, folks, not only come and belong and connect, but make it a priority to go deep in the faith. Because you know what? Well, let me ask you, is anyone here like free from problems? Like, have you figured out some way to just make your life totally free from problems? I mean, where nothing ever happens. I mean, everything just goes perfectly all the time. See, I think this is one of the lies the enemy often puts in our life is that if I give my life to God, if I really get involved in the faith, my life's going to go perfect. And as we all know, when you're an imperfect people living in an imperfect world, often married to another imperfect person, or in some sort of relationship with imperfect people, Isabella just looked at Billy. Was that just a... You can see the old spousal nudge there. Oh, that's you. But when we're in that situation, right? That's the reality, folks. And that's why, just know, I just want you to know, when problems come, the enemy wants to jump on that. Any problem, maybe, again, financial, relational, whatever it may be, the enemy wants to jump on that and convince you that God is not good, or you can't trust this person, or you can't trust your spouse, or you can't trust your friend, or this is never going to work out, or I'm never going to be anything. Because our roots aren't deep in God's word. And so not only come and belong, but come and be involved. Take that next step. Serve with us. I often think service is one of the key areas of growth. And I think for this one in particular, this comfort soil, because we're so prone to, I just want everything just nice and easy. Serving causes us to sacrifice. Serving means we take a step to say, you know what? I'm going to come and do something that may actually cost me some time. It may cost me some effort. And some of the times, the problem we often meet is that we don't really want to make commitments. Because you know what? What if I commit to greet on a Sunday when it's an amazing powder day? That's going to mess everything up. Of course I can't commit. I want my freedom. And what we're saying is one of the greatest ways to break through comfort soils to say, Lord, I'm going to come and I'm going to serve my local family here. At Crossroads, whatever your local family may be. Or maybe to serve a charity or whatever it may be out in the community. Maybe to be a big buddy. Whatever it may be. But there's a sense of giving away. Because when we give away and we serve others, it breaks through the comfort soil that we all can struggle with and wrestle with. Also, it says in this passage, the persecutions. Stay up there, Ken. Back that up, bud. The persecutions. Not only do they have problems, but they can be persecuted for believing God's word. Has anyone ever experienced that? Where you've tried to make a stand in the faith, you know, for what you believe, you know, you're like, this is what I believe. This is what I'm about. I'm a follower of Jesus, and this is what it looks like to follow him. And you go out, and someone says, are you kidding me? You believe in that Jesus stuff? Are you kidding me? You got to greet on a powder day? That's ridiculous. Why would you ever do that? We need to skip on this commitment thing. Or you get a friend that says, you would use your vacation to do a mission trip with the church? Are you kidding me? That's crazy. And again, the persecution for believing God's word, or maybe it's just like you're seeking to live a life of purity and morality, a life of sacrifice. That's crazy, man. No one does that anymore. And we again just open the door for the enemy to come in, steal that seed, and boom, the blessing is gone. The 30, the 60, the 100-fold blessing that could come out of living that way is gone. So if it's not problems, it's the persecution of others that can get in the way. So, gang, I just say to you, be strong in the faith. Know what you believe. Let that be deep in your heart and your soul, so that when you bump up against, whether it's problems or people questioning you, telling you to doubt that or to doubt this or doubt Crossroads Church, you say, no, wait a minute, I'm coming back to the Word of God. I'm coming back to the truth of God, and I'm going to bank on His promise, because I know that's going to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in my life. And the last one, the last big temptation here, go ahead, Ken, is conflicted soil. The seed that to hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Now, I'm sure I'm the only one in here that's ever struggled with this. Is that true? I mean, you guys are probably like, what's that about, man? Never heard anything like that. Never dealt with anything like that. But isn't it true? This is something we all have, gang. I don't care if you've been 20 years into the Christian faith. This particular one can come back around and get us as well. It's this idea of this conflicted soil. I mean, yeah, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. I'm convinced that I want change. You know, I came to church on Sunday, and the preacher said something that really spoke to me, and there's an area of my life I want to change. And then we go back out, and the desires of the world start to creep in, and it's like, oh, man, I don't really want to change that area of my life. The thorns. But what's so interesting about this particular one is it's saying that this person is growing in the faith. Column one is not the category two. They are growing. But you know what? Something else is growing around them. And this is why in the Christian faith we need weed whackers. We need people around us, and we need God's word, and we need prayer to identify the weeds that want to creep up around us and stuff out the amazing things that God wants to do. We need a weed whacker to take those things out so that our vine, our branch, our particular plant can just grow and flourish. That makes me think of something too. We all are different kinds of plants. My fruit doesn't need to look like your fruit, and my blessings don't need to look like your blessings. That when we come to faith in God, the beautiful thing is He starts to allow our particular plant to grow, our particular fruit to come out. And that's why I say, boy, watch out for the desires of the world. The things that say, you know what, man? I would really love to go be involved in that G3 conference at Crossroads, but you know what? Mick Jagger is playing in Denver. Right? And man, what am I going to get to? And we miss out on an amazing thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a concert. But gang, knowing what is it that my soul needs? What is it that, Lord, that you want to do in my life? And when the temptations come up of the world, you're like, no. That's going to get in the way of what God's doing here. There's a better time to go see Mick Jagger and all that stuff. But right now, God is leading me to do this, and I'm going to stick with that. That's why, you know, this third word up here, connect, serve, and give. I can't think of anything better to bust us through conflicted soil than to be a giver. a regular giver. We say this, and this is not a money sermon. This is not a preach on giving and all that stuff. But I just want you to know. We say, if you're a regular, whether it's our church that you're a regular or some other church that you're a regular at, we hope you are a regular giver. That you are always seeking to give a percentage of your income toward the Lord's work. We don't give towards paying light bills. We give because God's put it on our heart. He's given us a calling to give. We don't give under compulsion. We don't give out of fear. We don't give out of guilt and shame and people twisting our arms. We simply say, Lord, this is a biblical principle that reaps amazing blessings. People in this room, and I see some of you right now, could give testimony to what God has done in your life financially when you became a regular giver. And we encourage everybody to work towards a 10% tithe because it's a biblical thing to do. I love doing that. I encourage you to do that. But again, I don't want to make this about money. I want to make this about giving. It's about a generous heart. And I find one of the greatest things to bust through conflicted soil is having a heart of generosity. Whether we're giving our time, our talents, our treasures, hey, we have a heart of generosity, gang. And what God will do with that, as it says here, man, it's the lure of wealth. It's all these things, and we go home with it, and it's like we could walk away from this and say, you know what? I'm going to become a regular giver. We get online. I have enough money for that. And that's where the devil comes in, steals the seed, and boom, the blessings of 30, 60, and 100 are gone. And they're missed. So again, the conflicted soil, we all have it. We all have our challenges and conflicts with this. So to wrap up, I just want to talk to you, though, about this blessing again. So check this out. Let's go there, Ken. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. So let me break down these words of hearing, accepting, and producing. So check this out, this idea of hearing. Go ahead, Ken. Exposing our hearts to God's word. Man, I'm so encouraged and excited you're here today. That's a huge step of faith. Take time on a Sunday morning, come to church, sit and listen to a preach. Hopefully with a heart that wants to hear and receive. It's exposing ourselves to God's word. But gang, I'm just going to say, I don't know anyone that experiences all of God's blessings in their life if this is not a regular daily diet. Do you hear me on that? This is not a guilt thing. This is not a shame thing. This is not a twist your arm thing. I'm just saying, what do you want? If we want God's blessings, a daily diet in God's word is an amazing platform. It is the foundation to hearing God's word. And I just want to encourage you, make it a priority. If you need help with understanding it, we want to help you. If you need a Bible, we want to guide you towards a good Bible. If you want to sit and chat about a particular passage, we want to help you understand what it's all about. But I just want to say, develop a daily eating and hearing God's word. It is life-changing. And I'll be honest with you, there's mornings I wake up and I read it and it's like that first category. It's like, boom, boom. Nothing. Gone. But you know what? The devil's lie is, it's not worth the time. God's truth is, keep sticking with it. Keep knocking on the door and let him move because he will. Just be faithful to stick with it. So hearing is exposing our heart to God's word. So again, well done on being here today. But go home and this week, make it a point to get in here. But second thing is accepting it. And this is where we humbly take it in. It's with a humble heart that says, you know what? I don't know everything. I'm amazed the conversations I have at times with people, and they're so anxious to tell me about how much they know and how well they know it. And I'm like, well, that's all great, but I just wonder if there's enough humility to receive a fresh word from God. I have no doubt you received things in the past, but is there a humility to receive something new? Gang, listen, I've been at this deal for 25 years. I've been through, well, I basically crammed, 4 years of seminary into 5 years with my great abilities. Some of you didn't quite get that. That's all right. Isabella, I'll explain it later. But gang, all that to say, if I don't come to this after all this training and 25 years of ministry with a fresh heart, okay, I need to come every day with a humble heart. Say, Lord, what do you want to show me today? What is it you have for me today? I need to do that. And there's times I come with a hard heart. And God has to break that down and stay persistent. So humbly taking it in. But here's the deal. Agreeing with it. This idea of accepting is agreeing with it. So in other words, when I see something, I'm like, okay, well, let's see, Lord. You say X, Y, and Z. Lord, you say it's better to give than to receive. Or you say this or that. Do I make an agreement with it and say, you know, you're right, Lord. You're right. See, this is the biggest challenge. The devil has planted lies in each of our heads. I don't care who you are. We're not going to get through life without the devil putting lies in our head. And sometimes we buy them a little bit. Sometimes we buy them a lot. Sometimes they become this thing called a stronghold. And those things are so deeply rooted. Okay? And so this idea of agreeing with it is saying, you know, Lord, here's a truth. It's good to live a pure life as a single, even though everything in the culture says contrary. It's a good thing to give of your money, although everybody would say, no, you just keep your money. You earned it, so you just hold on to it. It's a good thing to go and serve others. Jesus himself said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for the many. It's a good thing to serve. And having a humble heart to say, you know, I make that agreement. But if you bump up against it, it's like, eh, I don't like that truth. That means there's a lie deeply rooted. Does that make sense? If we come to God's word and we see something like, well, I'd rather just tear this page out because I don't really like what's said on that page. Like the one that says, you know, bless your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Or I think it says, pray for your enemies and bless those who persecute you. I think I got that backwards. But you're just like, what? Are you kidding me? You know what that person's done to me? I'm supposed to pray for them and bless them? That's God's word, though. See, the temptation, the devil will want to steal that thing. But we need to make an agreement with it and say, Lord, your word says it, so I'm going to believe it. Because you said it, Lord, I am going to believe. Not because Dan said it, or Steve said it, or Brian said it, or Rebecca said it, but because you said it, Lord, I'm going to believe it. And then the last thing is this idea of production. That means to go and step out. Ken, can you back up, please? Choose to act on it by faith. Producing it means to go and act on it by faith. So now I say, okay, Lord, here's this issue. Let's just come back to this issue of praying for my enemies. I don't want to pray for this person, but I'm going to make an agreement that that's a good thing to do, and now by faith I'm going to step out and act on it. I'm going to do it. Or Lord, you know, I don't really feel like connecting at Crossroads and going deeper with anybody, but by faith I'm now going to do something with it. I make an agreement, and now I'm going to step out and do it. Or I don't feel like serving, but I'm going to step out and do it. Or I don't feel like giving, but I'm going to step out and do it. That's what producing means. It's acting on faith. And here's the beautiful thing about it. All we do is take a step of faith. God then works through us. This whole idea of producing in the scripture, in the original language, what it literally means is that we just carry forth what we got from the vine. It means that we're connected as a branch to the vine. The vine has all the life, and the vine gives life to the branch. And all we do as the branch, we just let the life of the vine flow through our branch, and fruit comes out. It's not about striving. It's not about, I got to go be a better Christian, or I got to go do more for God. It's not all about striving. It's about hearing God's word, letting it change your heart when we make agreements, and then we just step out in faith and act on it. And we do something with it. And it becomes a life-changing experience. And that's when we experience 30, 60, and 100-fold. Amen? With me on that? Ephesians chapter 3. Brian, you guys can come on up, buddy. Says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations forever and ever. Amen. More abundantly. How much can God do? God do? Right? How much can you and I do? Kind of limited, isn't it? We can do a few things. But boy, God can do far more abundantly than anything we ever could think or ask. Do you realize that? We cannot out-ask God. Do you realize that we cannot outthink God with the things that he wants to do for us? That his blessings, his desire to bless us and give us hope and give us restoration, to give us healing, it outweighs anything we could even ask or think. That's what that passage means. It means that God has so much more for us than we will ever realize in our time on the planet. What he has for us will blow away. If we could ever tap into it, it would blow us away. And I just say to you, there's probably 100, 120 people in this room. Do you realize when Jesus left and he left the folks there, there's 120 gathered in the upper room. And he said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to go be my witnesses in this world? Do you realize those 120 turn the world upside down? Do you realize that this group right here, if we took God's word and we heard it and we accepted it and we acted on it, God could change Aspen and this valley and turn it upside down? All the depression issues we have here, boom, done, gone. Drug issues, boom, gone. Marital issues, relational issues, financial issues, boom, gone. That's what God can do when a group of people hear his word, accept his word, and step out in faith and do something with it. That's the power of the gospel. So my question as we wrap up and these guys play a little music in the background is, what seed is God planting in our hearts today? And a question I would add to this that's not up there, what does our soil look like? And third thing, what will we then do with it? Will we make an agreement with it and act on it, or will we just kind of let the devil come in and go, boom, and boom, the blessings of 30, 60, and 100, they're gone, never to be seen again. So as we take some time and pray, we're going to come to the communion table. We've got a couple great songs to sing. I just want you to think about those questions. Maybe keep those up on the screen for a minute, Ken. What seed is God planting in our hearts today? What is our soil like, and what will we do with it? Folks, we're all on a journey here. None of us do this perfectly. And we need one another. And so let's just make a commitment to one another that we're going to do that. We're going to share the hard soil, the whatever soil, with others, be it our spouse, be it a friend. And we're going to just talk through it and be honest and vulnerable. That's really the first step, is just being honest with ourselves and honest with God and honest with someone about where we're at. And that's what we say, you know, there's no judgment here. There's no shame. We all got stuff. We all struggle with these things. We all can go through all those different soils at different times in our life. But our desire is for you to experience everything God has for you. Because we know without a doubt, because his word says it, that he wants to bless you 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's his promise. And we want you, we want ourselves to experience all of that. So as we take some time and sing and pray, and Brian can come up and share a few things, consider that. Consider what God's speaking to you and what he's leading you to do with that. Let me pray. And then we'll let you take it from there, Brian. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for each person here. And Lord, I've said enough. I just want to say thank you for being with us today. And I just pray, Lord, I just want to pray for one particular person here, the person that may be here today that's never given their heart and life to you. They've kind of checked out the Christian thing. They've kind of done the church thing, but they've never really had a personal relationship with you where your seed has gone into their heart and started to blossom into something beautiful. They've done religion. They've been down that road, but they want something more. They want something that's real, that's relational, that's organic, that's life-changing, that's hope-giving. I just want to pray for that person right now, Lord, and just ask them to just pray in their heart with me. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for rising out of the grave to give me new life as well, the resurrected life. And I just pray for you to change my heart, make me whole, heal my hurts and pains, and bless me as you promised to bless me 30, 60, and 100-fold. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.